Welcome to Five to Focus, a weekly podcast helping you center on Jesus by applying the Bible to life's struggles. Ryan Strother is your host. Now set aside any distractions and get focused.
Thanks for taking 5 minutes with me this week to focus in on your faith, your life in Christ. I really do appreciate you taking time to listen, and I hope these are helpful for you. Well, last week I started talking about how the divine inspiration of Scripture helps you have confidence in your faith. You know, we can live this life that we've been given because we know the one who has instructed us is the one who created us and knows what's best for us. And I know that there are many arguments against the divine inspiration of Scripture. There's a lot of people that just simply don't believe the Bible's true. And so what I want to do today, and even for the next couple weeks, is to talk about some of these age-old arguments against the inspiration of Scripture. You know, there's people that just simply can't accept that things in the Bible are true. And so the argument I want to talk about today is that you'll find people say this. They'll say that the Bible's just a book of myths or fables that are created by people. Well, I want to tell you very emphatically today that your faith is not founded on fables. Your faith is rooted in the truth of Jesus Christ. You know, I want to read a scripture Peter wrote, 2 Peter in the New Testament of the Bible. And I want to read this passage to you. It's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. And I want to read through verse 21. It says, "For we did not follow cleverly contrived myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice when it came from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. We also have the prophetic word strongly confirmed. And you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a lamp shining in dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you know this: no prophecy of Scripture comes from the prophet's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." You know, Peter clarifies that they didn't follow cleverly devised myths. His near apologetic tone in this passage indicates the possibility that this fable argument already existed at the time Peter was writing this. There's a Jewish author and philosopher named Philo Judaeus who lived from about 20 BC to around AD 50. And he wrote at least a dozen times defending Scripture as not being fables. The difficulty at the period of Peter was this was a period of Hellenization, or the spreading of Greek culture and the influence of Greek culture. And that Greek culture perpetuated myths and fables of numerous gods, and you're probably familiar with some of those fables. Now think about in a culture full of Greek mythology. When stories then about Jesus are told, it would have been easy to lump them into the category of mythology, just like every other god that these people were hearing about. Still today, people view the Bible as myths or fables. They think that there just might be some stories that aren't true. They're going to question things like the virgin birth of Jesus. They're going to question things like the creation of the world, even in 6 days and resting on the seventh. In fact, that's how the Southern Baptist Convention, one of the ways in which it started to shift to a much more liberal theology was when a professor in one of the seminaries wrote a commentary on Genesis arguing that the first 11 chapters were simply allegory. I want you to think about something else, too. Some people might think the Bible is myths or fables, just like Aesop's fables. And the Aesop's fables that we might have heard when we were children, they're just stories with good life lessons or morals. Did you know that Aesop, to whom the fables are credited, was a Greek slave who is said to have lived between 620 and 560 BC? So it's possible that these fables were being passed down even at Peter's time. Well, we know from verse 17 and 18 of this passage, the opposite of this argument is true. These are not made up fables about Jesus, but they are eyewitnesses' accounts that Peter even saw and experienced, the one who's writing this. He gives an example of the transfiguration, I believe, here when he talks about being on that holy mountain. I mean, you can imagine the transfiguration we read about in Matthew 17. That was such a glorious event that I can imagine that would be difficult for people to think that really happened. But Peter says, no, I was there. This happened. I saw it. The Bible is not a bunch of myths or fables or stories. You know, I try not to even say Bible stories, but instead I say Bible accounts, because these are true accounts of those who were inspired by God and recorded them. History and archaeology continually prove the accuracy of the Bible and these accounts in the Bible. A friend just sent me this article here recently that in Israel they unveiled a 27-year-old clay seal impression, which they said belonged to a biblical governor of Jerusalem. There's an inscription on it that says, belonging to the governor of the city. The antiquities authority stated this. They said, it supports the biblical rendering of the existence of a governor of the city in Jerusalem 2,700 years ago. I mean, this is just one of many, many examples of how the Bible is full of historical accounts. And so let me tell you today that your faith is not founded on fables. Don't get sucked into that age-old argument that it's just a bunch of myths. It is so much more than that. And you know, it is the Word of God that will transform your very life.
Thanks for listening to 5 to Focus. Make sure you subscribe and catch next week's episode as you stay centered on Jesus.